Okay, so once again, Happy New Year to you all. If you look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9, Proverbs chapter 3 verse number 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." The title for the sermon this morning, brethren, is Give God Your First. Give God Your First. If you look at that verse number 9 again, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." You know, everything that we have, brethren, everything that we've been given, everything that we produce, we ought to be giving it to the Lord first and foremost. It says, "And with the first fruits of all thine increase." You know, there are some people that actually confuse the first fruits with the tithe. And what the first fruits was is that when, because the nation of Israel was an agricultural nation, or they were a nation of farmers, you know, the very first crops of the new season, they would take that and give that as a sacrifice to the house of the Lord. They would take the firstlings of the flocks and give that to the house of the Lord. They'd want to make sure that it gets given to God first. It gets given to God first. That's what the first fruits was. The tithe was something separate. The tithe was taking 10% of your increase and giving that to the house of the Lord. But what I want to talk about today, brethren, is that we've all been given life. We've all been given things. We've all been given opportunities. We've been given time. We've been given life. We've been given relationships. We've been given family. And the thing that we see here, that whatever God has given us, whatever our substance is, God wants us to give Him the first of all things. You know, one of the exciting things that we have about this new year is that it is the first day and the first Sunday of the new year. You know, what's really great is that we can be in the house of the Lord this Sunday, the very first day of the new year. We can be in the house of the Lord. Well done if you made it to church this morning. I know many of you are tired, probably haven't had much sleep. I don't even feel that bright this morning. You know, my eyes still feel a little sleepy, feel a little bit lazy, keep me in prayer. But, you know, what's exciting about this morning is that we have given our first hours to the Lord. You know, when you got up, you said, "Look, I need to be in the house of the Lord," right? You've made it here. It hasn't been easy, but what have you done? You've given your very first hours of the new year to the Lord. And I want us to take this principle, because we have this opportunity. It's not always that it's always Sunday, the first day of the year. We have this opportunity to start well. We say, "Lord, we've given you the first hours. You know, the very first day of the week, we're giving it to the house of the Lord. Lord, what more can I give to you? You want me to give the first of all my substance. What have you given me, Lord?" You can look around at your life and, "Lord, you've given me work. All right, Lord, I'm going to be working for you then, Lord. Lord, you've given me family. Then, Lord, I'm going to take care of this family. Lord, because you've given it to me, Lord, I want to give back to you. I want to be sacrificial to you, Lord. I want to give you everything that I have toward you. Lord, I want to put you first in my life," is really what I want to cover this morning. I want to put you first in my life. You know, the very first moments, the very first minutes that you wake up in the morning, I want you to say, "Lord, I want you to have these very first minutes of my life. Help me to start 2023 differently. Help me, Lord, for 2023 to be a year where I put you first in all things. Maybe 2022 was a year where I was a little bit selfish. Maybe I put my own needs, I put myself first, Lord, in many places. Lord, maybe there were times I did put you first, but there were times that I put myself first. Lord, help me to have 2023 as a year that I put you first before all things." So make it a year where God comes first. Can you do that? You started well. You started well. You're in the house of the Lord this morning. You started well. Can you continue this? Can you make sure that God comes first in all areas of your life? And look, there's a wonderful promise there in verse number 30. You know, if you give God your first fruits, it says in verse number 10, it says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You know, God will make sure that you receive a blessing if you put Him first. You see, many times the reason we don't put God first, we put ourselves first, is because we have our own needs. We say, "Lord, I can't give you time right now, Lord. I've got my own needs. I've got my own things that I need to take care of, Lord. I'm sorry, God, but I need to put you aside. Lord, I might need to put you second or third or fourth in my life because I've got to take care of my needs." God says, put Him first. He'll take care of your needs. You put Him first. He'll make sure not only are your needs taken care of, but you'll have in abundance. Your barns will be filled with plenty. God will bless you in life if you give Him your first fruits in your life. Now, again, we can take this principle. You know, we're not farmers. Well, I don't know. Some of you might. I don't know. You know, some of you do plant crops and things like that. But again, let's take the principle. I'm saying give God the first of everything, right? Everything that you have, your position in life, just give God the first. Say, Lord, I'm going to serve you with my life. Lord, I want to seek your will in my life, not my own will. Lord, help me to put you first in all decisions, all areas that I serve you in my life. Can you please drop down to verse number 27, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 27. And let's read it. Verse number 27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. You know, when something is due, it says, don't withhold that which is good, right? Let's take a bill, for example. The bill might be due on a certain day. You say, well, I'm not going to withhold that. I'm going to make sure that that gets taken care of. You know, I don't want to go overdue with what is owed. You know what is due to God? The first of everything. Putting him first. That's due. That's good. That's something that you ought to say, God, you know what? You want me to put you first? This is a good thing to do, Lord. Then I'm not going to withhold that which is good from you, Lord. I'm going to put you first in my life. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Verse number 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You know, what we see here is if your neighbor has a need, and you've got it, you've got an opportunity to give to that neighbor, don't delay. Just if you have it now, give it to him. Don't say, oh, tomorrow. Come again tomorrow and I'll take care of it. No. If you have the opportunity, give it first. Give it on the day that it is due. And you know what? We don't want to be like this toward God, where God, you know, let's substitute our neighbor to God with God there. Say not unto God, go and come again and tomorrow I will give. No. Give God today. You don't know if tomorrow's going to come. You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. Say, Lord, you've given me an opportunity to preach the gospel maybe today to someone that I know, someone that I love and care for. Say, I don't feel comfortable about that, Lord. Maybe tomorrow. How do you know tomorrow's going to come? How do you know you're going to have the opportunities? How do you know that person is going to be there tomorrow that you love and care about? One of the saddest things that I hear, testimonies that I hear from certain people, is when they've had the opportunity to give the gospel to someone, and then they've delayed. They said, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it next week. Or I'll do it next month. And then that person passes away without knowing the Lord God. Saddest thing that I've heard, you know. I've heard that many times, you know, from different people. How that's driven them to have a heart to reach the lost. You know, don't wait for tomorrow. Today. Can you put God first today? Oh, Lord, I'll read my Bible cover to cover next year. Hey, this is your chance. It's the first day of the new year. How about you do it this year if you've not done it yet? Come with me to Psalm 27. Come with me to Psalm 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27, verse number 4. I've got, I've got 6 points for you this morning that I want you to think about. And the very first one is very easy because you've already done it. You're already here in the house of the Lord. But point number one that I have for you, brethren, is give the first day of the week to the Lord. Give the first day of the week to the Lord. The first day of the week, of course, is Sunday. You started well. How about next Sunday? How about next week? Can you give that to the Lord? Can you prioritize God and say, God, I want to put you first this Sunday. I want to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday. Look at Psalm 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27, verse number 4. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. So what is this one thing that he desires of the Lord? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow. The psalmist says, look, there's something I desire from the Lord, that I can be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We haven't got services every day of your life, unfortunately. Okay, but we got services on a Sunday. You know, and most people aren't working, a job on a Sunday. So, hey, it's a great day to give priority to the house of the Lord. But brethren, give the first day of the week to the Lord. You know, I have no doubt if you just give the first day of the week to God, that God's going to help you through the rest of the week. Like we saw earlier, you know, your barns will be filled. Just give the first. Say, Lord, I'm putting you first. I've got problems, I've got concerns, I've got issues, Lord, this week that I know I need to deal with. But I'm going to set that aside, Lord, just for a moment. I'm not going to give it attention. I'm going to give you attention. Lord, I come to inquire of you in the house of the Lord this Sunday. Can you teach me something? Can you guide me? Can you see that I'm giving of myself sacrificially, Lord, to be in your house? And Lord, then I need you to help me through the week. Because I need your help. I need your assistance, Lord. You know, I need to take care of all these issues. And I have no doubt, you know, that if you put God first, that he'll take care of your needs. I mean, because he's really done it. Like, if you consider your life, and you consider the issues that you've had through life, and the times that you've put God first, you know full well. I don't even need to teach you this. You know full well that God has seen you through. And he's probably seen you through better than you thought you'd go through those troubles or those concerns or those issues that you had in mind. But I'm very thankful that we have a desire to be in the house of the Lord, not to hear this preacher, you know, not to hear of me, but to hear of his word, to give him honor, to give him praise. That's why I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to give God praise. I want to give him worship, right? You know, I want to be amongst God's people this morning and be in fellowship and enjoy one another's company. Give the first day of the week to the Lord. I'm going to quickly read to you. You can stay there. But I'll quickly read to you from Matthew 15, verse 8. One thing that saddens me about these words of Christ here in Matthew 15, verse 8. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Interesting. You know, I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened in your life. I'm sure it's happened in my life. There are times that we've come to the house of the Lord, right? We've drawn nigh to the Lord with our mouth. We've sung him praises. We've sung the hymns, right? We've rejoiced in the Lord, but our hearts have been far from him. Hey, maybe this morning, you know, you're great. You're in the house of the Lord. You forced your body to be here, but maybe your heart is far from the Lord. Okay? You know, when that happens, if that's you this morning, Jesus Christ says, "But in vain they do worship me." In vain. It's empty. It's worthless. If your heart's not here, yeah, my body's here, Pastor. Can't you see I'm sitting on this chair this morning? Can't you hear me singing praises to God? That's all I can say. I don't know your insides. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. The only one that knows our hearts is, of course, the Lord God. But is your heart here? Do you love the Lord? Do you want to be in the house of the Lord? Or is it a nuisance to be here? You say, "I just worship God my own way." It's all in vain. It's empty. It's pointless. You know, yes, give the first day of the week to the Lord, but bring your heart with you. Yeah, bring your body, great. Bring your mouth so you can sing praises, great. Bring your heart here this morning to the house of the Lord and say, "Lord, I love you. I just want to praise you. I want to hear of your word, Lord. And even if I get offended by the preaching, Lord, as long as it's true, Lord, my heart is open to receive your truth." One thing else that we learned in verse number 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Brethren, I don't want to get behind this pulpit teaching my commandments. You know, I've said it so many times. I would hate it if this whole church was Sepulveda-ites. You just do, but Pastor does it this way. Don't you know? Didn't you hear that sermon? Pastor said he does it like that. We should do it like, no, does the Bible say to do it like that? And, you know, God gives us so many ways of doing things, so much liberty he gives us. You know, the worst thing you can do is just go, "Well, let's just do it like this family at church because they seemingly have it together," or something like that. Listen, I don't want to teach commandments of men. I don't come here. My goal, I hope you can see that I really try to withhold from giving you my personal opinions. I mean, there are times that I do, okay? There are times we might be looking at a challenging passage and I'm saying, "Look, this is what I believe. This is what I think it is." Some people might have different opinions on that, but this is what I think, all right? Or this is how I apply this passage in my life. Hey, but you might be able to apply that passage in your life a different way. We don't come to church. I don't want to be here just listening to the commandments of men. But I guarantee you there are things that you believe, even today, there are things that you do in your life today, not because you heard it or you read it in God's word. But in your mind, and in my mind, it's programmed. We think it must be what God wants, but we do it because it's a commandment of men. We heard an influential preacher say certain things. You know, we've grown up in church believing a certain thing. But where is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Did you hear it? Did you learn it from the Bible? Or was it just a commandment of men that you applied in your life? And look, there's nothing wrong with commandments of men in of themselves. If there's something good, if it's something compatible with God's word. But I want to make sure that we come to the house of the Lord to hear of God, to hear from His word, all right? Again, to put God first, give God your first. You know, my opinions, make that secondary. But when it comes to God's word, what He clearly tells us, put that first in your life. Give the first day of the week to the Lord. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4. Now, I know this is about qualifications of a pastor, all right? But we learn an interesting principle here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4 says, again, qualifications for a pastor. When you're trying to find a man who can lead a church, this is what you're looking for in verse number 4. One that ruleth well his own house, that's his own family, having his children in subjection with all gravity. But look at verse number 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If a man can't look after his family, if a man does not have his family in order, okay? If they're not in subjection, right? If the man is not the head of the house, then how can that man take care of the church of God? Now again, I know this is about pastors, but I want to apply this to each one of us. Because we're talking about what we're putting first in our life. And I know this is controversial, okay? But I don't believe this is controversial, okay? One thing that we learn here, before a man can take care of a church, he must be able to take care of his family first. A man's first ministry is his own family. Look, I know we love church. I love church. I get excited when people want to serve in the house of the Lord, whether it's just song leading or reading the scriptures or even preaching or just helping with the morning tea or taking care of the cleaning or whatever responsibilities we have. You know, the treasurer, the counting of the offering. You know, all these responsibilities, all this service, the soul winning. Right? The outreach that we do as a church. All of these things are good service that we do in the house of the Lord. But your first ministry is your family. Have you got your family in order? Are you giving them first to the Lord? Or are they secondary? And the reason I say this is because I've sat under preaching commandments of men that say, put God first, amen, I agree, that's the whole point of this sermon. Then church, then your family. No, your family, then church. Your family comes first. Get your house in order, okay? If this is a requirement for a pastor to have his house in order first, this is the same for everybody, anybody, to make sure they've got their house in order. Say, Lord, I'm at church, but my family does not serve you. Lord, I'm at church, but my family doesn't love you. Lord, I sing praises to you at church, but I don't sing praises with you with my family. You've got it wrong. You've got to get your family to love the Lord. Appreciate the family that God has given you. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's your priority, your wife. Love her. Guide her, direct her, teach her. Show her that you're the leader. Show her that you'd be sacrificial. Show that you'd lay down your life for her and your family. And wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Put him, you know, say, oh, but you don't know my husband, pastor. It's not about your husband. Put God first. And God says, submit yourselves to your husbands. That's what God says. If you're going to put God first, then do what God said. To submit yourselves to your husband. Let him be the leader. Let him take charge. Let him be sacrificial. You know, let him be productive. Let him give as much as he can to take care of his family. Point number two is don't forget your first ministry. Come to church. This is a ministry here. We already covered that, right? But your first ministry is your family. Does your family love the Lord? Does your family spend time thinking of the Lord, praying to the Lord, reading His Word. Brethren, don't forget your first ministry. And I tell you now, as a pastor, my family is my first ministry. It has to be. It has to be. Too many pastors I've seen in my life fail in the family, fail with their children, fail in their relationships. Too many. Because they put the ministry, they put the church first. And they forgot their first ministry. The one that actually qualifies them to be the one that can rule in the house of the Lord. But the same goes for each one of us. Don't forget your first ministry. Okay? When God created Adam and Eve, there was no church. It was wife. Wife. Okay? She comes first. Family comes first. Eve, Adam comes first. Don't forget your first ministry. You're there in 1 Timothy. Come with me to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance. Give your attention to these things, right? Till I come, Paul speaking there to Timothy. Next point that I have for you, brethren, is give attendance to reading. What's the first thing your heart's desire is to read? You know, look, I'm not against novels. I'm not against magazines. I'm not against stories or fiction and as long as they're decent, you know. I'm not against these things. I'm not even against even TV shows necessarily. But it's very hard to find anything these days. It's very hard. But anyway, look, what do you need to give your attention to first? Give attendance to reading. Reading what? Of course, the scriptures. To doctrine. To learning God's word. Let me encourage you, the very first moments of your morning, just to open up God's Word. Even if it's just a chapter, just open God's Word and take it in. Okay, you've just woken up, your body's had a good rest, all right? You're kind of fresh. So I need a coffee. No, you don't need a coffee. Okay, it's just going to make you more sleepy in the day, if it's the first thing that you have. First thing you need is the Word of God. You need to feed your soul, right? You need to hear from God's word. And if you ever wonder, God does not speak to me, God's not directing me, then you need to open God's word. You need to open the Bible and say, God, speak to me through your word. That's how He speaks to us. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading is point number three. You know, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 4:4, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brethren, this is an every word Bible. 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. Don't just read Revelation. Don't just read the New Testament. Read it all. Read Leviticus. Say, Pastor, I got excited to read the Bible cover to cover, and I got stuck in Leviticus. I just couldn't pick it up anymore. How many testimonies like that? I've had that experience. I'll tell you now. What did Jesus Christ says? But by every word. Yes, even the book of Leviticus is feeding you something, teaching you something, pointing you to Christ, giving you direction in life. Just like we're looking at this passage, right? About the first fruits. How the Israelites would give their first. We don't operate in that economy, but we can take the principle, can't we? And apply it to the rest of our lives. Then God, you want the first. I'll give you first, Lord. You come first in my life. Give attendance to reading. This is a chance. Did you read the Bible cover to cover last year? I want to ask for a show of hands. Okay. But how about now? January 1st. Hey, we've only got one service this morning. One service. I know you're tired. But can you open God's Word? Can you start there in Genesis if you haven't started? Or can you pick up where you left off? And say, you know what? I'm going to get through this book at the end of this year. I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. I want to consume every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because I can't live on bread alone. Yes, bread is great. Bread nourishes the outward. But the Word of God nourishes the inward man. And brethren, if we need to live by that inward man, we're to walk in that spirit, then we need to strengthen that spirit within us, right? If we just strengthen the outward, you know what? You're going to live in the outward. But if you strengthen the inward, you're going to be able to walk within the inward. That inward man, the spirit, walking in the Spirit as we're commanded. To put off the old man, to put on the new man. But you need to nourish it. You need to give it strength. It receives its strength, its food, its nourishments, its nutrients from the Word of God. We got one service today. This is your chance to pick up God's Word and say, Lord, I'm going to get through the Bible cover to cover this year. Say, Pastor, I find it a bit hard to start in Genesis. All right, start in Matthew then. Start with the New Testament, then go to the Old Testament. But just get through the Bible cover to cover. Start this new year. Say, God, I'm going to put you first. Before I pick up my phone and check Facebook, before I pick up my phone and check YouTube, before I pick up the novel, Lord, I'm going to make sure I pick up your word first. Can you challenge yourself this year to do that? That when you find yourself living tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, and you find yourself putting on the TV, can you just for a moment just say, did I pick up God's word this morning? And if you say, no, I didn't, then say, look, I remember being challenged that I need to put God first. Sorry, Lord, I didn't put you first, but I'm going to pick up my Bible now. I'm going to get back onto it. I'm going to get back on the program. Lord, please feed me. Please nourish me. And sometimes when you do that and you pick up God's word first, you're going to be like, now I don't even want to put on that TV because I know how much filthiness there is on that, how ungodly it is, how much, really, I don't know, is that really putting God first? Give attendance to reading. Let me challenge you with that, brethren. Put God first. That's how he speaks to you. If you don't pick up this book, if you don't pick it up, you don't open the pages and start reading, you're basically ignoring God. Like, God wants to speak to you. God wants to direct you. God wants to give you his wisdom. Ah, Lord, I'd rather turn on the TV. Ah, Lord, I'd rather pick up this novel. Ah, tomorrow, Lord, tomorrow. No, today. With all your substance. What is due, brethren, what is due today is that you pick up his word and you read it. Don't say tomorrow. I'll catch up in the... I won't read it today, I'll catch up tomorrow. No. You don't know if tomorrow's going to come. How about you do the extra chapter today as well? Instead of putting off tomorrow. Put God first. Put him first, even in your reading. The entertainment. The things that you fill your life with. Put God first, please. Mark chapter 12. Come with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. And of course, we've got to read this passage. But Mark chapter 12, verse number 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, let's ask Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? What is the first commandment? If we're going to put God first, what do we have to do first? What is the primary commandment? What is the most important commandment? Verse number 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart. Again, is your heart here this morning? Right? We draw nigh to the Lord with our lips and with our mouth, but he said that sometimes our hearts are far from him. What is the primary thing, brethren? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Give God your first. Put God first in your life. God, what is the first thing you want me to do with my life? He says, love me. Love me. Do you love the Lord? God comes first. Love the Lord first. You should love, I already spoke about the importance of family, but you ought to love God above your family. You ought to love, and look, that might sound a bit weird, but if you love God first, it's going to be best for your family. Right? If you love him first and you seek his desires first, then it's naturally going to flow into your family. It's naturally going to flow into church. It's naturally going to flow into your workplace. It's going to flow everywhere if you put God first, if you love him first. What do you love? I'm sure there are things we all love, we appreciate, certain desires that we have. What's your strongest desire? What's your strongest love? It ought to be toward God. Love Him with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, the things that you think about. Are you putting God first? Do you think God wants you to be thinking about those things with your mind? With your strength? That's your body. What can I do with my body, Lord? Say, Pastor, I've got sicknesses. Pastor, I can't walk well. I can't do much in my body. All right, whatever you've got. Okay, you might be limited in strength, but can you give God all that strength that you've got? Isn't that just like salvation? People say, I don't know. I don't know if I can, I don't think I've got great faith. I don't know if I can truly just put, that faith, is it sufficient for the Lord? You know what? Christ says, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, right? As long as you put it all on the Lord, if you put it all on Christ, yes, Lord, I struggle, Lord, but I'm going to put all my faith on you and you alone, even though it's not much faith that I have, but I'm going to put it all on Christ. Please save me. That's what we do, don't we? When the disciples struggled to believe, I'd say to the Lord, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, actually, no, that was one man that had a sick child. But the disciples prayed, increase our faith. Remember that? Increase our faith. Yeah, your body can be struggling. I know, of course I know. My body's not 100%. It's not like what it was 10 years ago, for sure. Okay, and your body's breaking down. Your strength is being limited as the years go by. But even though it's limited, can you give it all to the Lord? Whatever you do with your hands, whatever you do with your body, give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to serve you with my body that you've given me. But remember your first love is point number four. Remember your first love. Love God first and foremost. And when you love Him the way that you ought to, it transforms your life. It transforms your day-to-day living. I mean, salvation, trusting Christ for salvation, right? Yeah, that transforms your destination. But what truly transforms your day-to-day life is how much you love the Lord. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God knows that automatically, if you just love Him, you will automatically just be doing the commandments. Okay, when you find yourself breaking the commandments of God, it shows you the lack of love that you have toward God. Sin is the transgression of the law, and we all sin. And every time we sin, it's because we put our selfish desires first rather than God's desires in our lives. I'm going to quickly read to you. This is a short point that I have for you. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. I'll just read it to you quickly. Which says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So this is for the young people. Okay, it's for teenagers, young adults. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know there are days coming where you're going to find no pleasure. But when you're young, you can find a lot more pleasure in life. You don't have the responsibilities. You don't have the pressures of life. You're not necessarily trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet when you're young, when you're a child. The Lord says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Point number five, especially for the young people, is give God your first years. All right, your first years are important. Give it to the Lord. Use your years to learn of God's word. Use your early years to praise Him, to worship Him, to get in the habit to be in the house of the Lord, to get in the habit of opening the Bible, to understand what God requires in your life. You know what? If you give God those early years in your life, He'll, by His word, you'll know what is right and wrong. You'll be able to avoid the mistakes, the hurts that many adults in this room have gone through, if they just knew what God's word said, if they knew what direction in life to take. I know all parents here don't want their kids to make the same mistakes that they've made. I know they don't want their kids to have the same hurts, unnecessary hurts that they've had to go through. Then what you need to do to overcome that and to be even greater Christians than your parents, to do greater works for God than your parents, to be rewarded even more greater than what God's going to reward your parents in heaven, just put God first in these early years of your life. Learn about the Lord. Learn to love Him. Learn the Bible. Learn what information it contains. It's so, so amazing. The wisdom of God. This wisdom that comes from this word is greater wisdom that you'll receive in any other form of education. Give God your early years. Give God your first years in your life. The days will come when you'll find no pleasure. I'm sure there are many adults right now knowing that there are days coming, go, oh man, got to deal with that issue, got to deal with that problem. Okay? But you got time now. You don't have the response. You don't have the pressures in life. Trust me. Like I know, you know, because we're all teenagers, right? Teenagers. You know, it's like, oh, it's always this and always that, always problems, always issues. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. It's the teenagers that don't understand. Because those days are coming when they're difficult. Your life is easy now. It really is. You know, appreciate the years that God has given you. You know, be a child. Learn to grow. You know, enjoy developments. But give those first years to the Lord to direct your paths. You know what? And you won't make as many mistakes as your parents did. You'll come out much better on the other side if you just give God your priority. So point number five, brethren, is give your first years of your life to God as well. The first years of your life. Come with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now, point number 6 that I have here, I realize that it's quite similar to point number 4, but a little different. Point number 4 was, remember your first love. We were to love Him with our heart, with our soul, with our mind and all our strength. But in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A very famous passage of the Bible. But you know what's very reasonable? Is that you present your body as a living sacrifice to God. This is very reasonable in the eyes of the Lord that you do this. All right, now we saw earlier that the Israelites of old would give their first fruits, the very first crops, right, the very first firstlings of their flocks as a sacrifice to the house of the Lord, a sacrifice unto God. Well, God's asking you for a sacrifice, your whole body, a living sacrifice, your whole life to the Lord. And look at verse number 2. It's the most challenging part. And be not conformed to this world. You know how you give your body to the Lord? It's not be like this world. I mean, what is your life like? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we spend time in fellowship. We come to the house of the Lord. We sing praises. I know you love the Lord. I know. I don't know if you love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. But I know you love the Lord. But how much do you love the world, though? That side, I don't really know. That side, I'm not that interested in. Like, personally. But the Lord's interested to know how much are you conformed to this world. And again, not everything in this world is wicked. There are plenty of things that are enjoyable in this world. You know, I'm not trying to zap all the fun out of your life. I want 2023 to be a great year of fun, okay? But good, clean, godly fun is what you really need to be aiming for, okay? Not things that corrupt this flesh. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when we put God first, we're looking for God's will. Say, Lord, what is your will in my life? Lord, I don't want my will. Right? Jesus Christ said the same words, right? Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Say, Lord, all right, can you transform my mind? Because my mind is full of corruption. My mind is seeking the world. My mind is just seeking to be just like this world. What the world pursues, Lord, but I know you want me to present my body a living sacrifice. I need to give my body to you first. I need to give my mind to you first, Lord. I cannot be like this world. And that's a really good framework to review your life, because we don't always know our hearts, obviously. We know somewhat our hearts, but it's desperately wicked who can know it, as we know in the Bible. But you can assess your life. How much is my life like the wicked world? And how much is my life like a holy, acceptable, pleasing sacrifice unto the Lord. What is the measure there in your life? Is it 50-50? Is it 80% to the Lord, 20% to the world? You know, God wants it all. God wants 100% of your life, 100% of your mind, 100% of your body. Can you turn with me to James chapter 3? Turn with me to James chapter 3, verse number 17. James chapter 3, verse number 17. James chapter 3, verse number 17. And again, some people have this weird idea, and I don't blame a lot of Christians, because they grow up in church listening to the commandments of men, and then they find their life has no fun because they're trying to live this life where just anything that seems outside of church, then that might be wicked or something like that. That's a crazy way to live. There's a lot of enjoyment in this world, okay? And like I said, as long as it's good, clean fun, go for it, all right? God's given you a life. God's given you a sense of humor. God's given you the desire to enjoy life, to have fun. You know, enjoy life. I'm not against enjoying life. I want you to enjoy church, right? I want this to be a place of enjoyment. We did ask it to turn, sorry, James chapter 3? Yeah, James chapter 3, verse 7. Before we read that, I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but, so this is what we need to put first, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Purity. You know what God wants in our lives? Purity. Not to be corrupted by this world. All right? Not to find enjoyment in corruption, but to seek that which is pure. Keeping yourselves pure. Your mind, yes, your body. Yes, a pure heart. Purity. Now, the reason I want you to turn to James chapter 3 is because what we just read there are other things that we see, like peace. I want peace. I know you want peace in life. Like, generally, we want to get through life and not be at conflicts and constant persecution and constant problems. We'd much rather live a peaceful life, okay? But there is something that comes before peace. In James chapter 3, verse number 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above, this is really important, is first pure. First pure. You know, if we want to put God first, right, that which we seek to do must first be pure, without corruption, right, without wickedness. First pure, then peaceable. See, peace comes secondary, then peaceable. See, I'm not seeking to have peace at all costs. Because if we're seeking to have peace at all costs, you're going to have to corrupt yourself. Because this is a corrupted world. It's a wicked world, right? If I just want to be best friends with everybody in this world, then I've got to corrupt myself. No, before we find peace, we need purity. Look, as you're seeking God's will in your life, as you're seeking what to put first pure. Say, Lord, I want your wisdom, as we saw there. When it comes to the wisdom of God that he gives to us, it's first pure. You want to give God your first. Is it pure? Lord, I wanted to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Is it pure? Good. Then come to the house of the Lord. That's how you make judgments. That's how you put God first. You assess this situation, this opportunity that I have, Lord. Is it pure? And God says, yes, then all right, I'm going to seek that first. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We're talking about the wisdom of God, wisdom that comes from above, that we get given by God. First pure, okay? And so, if we're going to give our whole body and mind to God, you need to assess, is this television program pure? Is this book pure? It's so hard. It's so hard to find things that are pure these days. It's so hard. Is this piece of clothing pure? All right? Is my love to my wife pure? Is my love to my children pure? You know, when I come to church to sing your praises, is my heart pure? That comes first. Give God your first. Give God your best. Put God first. But you need to ask yourself that question, is it pure first? Then the rest of it comes along. You're there in James. Come with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4, verse number 13. James chapter 4, verse number 13. So, brethren, I'm not trying to zap your fun. I want you to have fun in 2023. But before you have fun, can you please assess that fun and say, God, is this pure fun? And then if God says yes, then go for it. Enjoy your life. But you say, Lord, this is corrupted. Lord, you don't want me to corrupt my mind, which corrupts my flesh, which then cannot be a holy sacrifice unto you, Lord. Then you say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. As much as I want to do that, as much as my desires are to do that, Lord, I'm going to put you first in 2023. Can you do it? It's not easy, because we all have selfish desires. It's not easy. But can you try harder this year than you've had in previous years? James chapter 4, verse number 13. James chapter 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a city and getting gain. Nothing wrong starting a business, going somewhere and making a profit. Okay. But there's something that you need, what this is teaching us is, before you make a major decision in life, okay, I'm going to move cities, all right? Before you make major decisions in life, what are you are to do? You know, before you decide, tomorrow we're going to do that, today we'll do this, tomorrow we'll do that. Verse number 14. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Right, so before you make major decisions in life, you know, remind yourself that your life is a vapor. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. That's the point here that we're in about. Verse number 15. This is the important part. For that, ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, before you make decisions in life, major decisions specifically, you want to ask yourself the question, Lord, is this your will? Are you willing, Lord? Do you want me to do this, Lord? Do you want me to go to such and such city? You know, I have to ask myself that question. Lord, I'm there in Sydney doing well, going to church, right, serving the Lord. Lord, do you want me? Is it your will to go to the Sunshine Coast? To start a church? Is that your will, Lord? I have to ask that question. Major decisions in life. And if it is the Lord's will, then you go and do it. This is putting God first, not your own will. Put God's will first. Your will might be go to such and such city, but God might say, no, that is not my will in your life. So how do I know if it's God's will? You need to know this Bible. You need to read it cover to cover. You need to know whether God allows it or whether he doesn't. Many times, as I said, God might give you many options in life. There's liberty in Christ. But how do you know that option is God's will? How do you know that option is pure unless you've digested God's word in your life? Say, Lord, I think I want to do this. Let me see if it's your will, Lord. You know what, Lord? I don't see anything that you're against that. Is it pure? Or will it corrupt my mind? No, Lord, it's pure. Lord, it's compatible with your word. It's not corruption. Lord, then I'm going to take that option. Yes, Lord, I'm going to go to such and such city and buy and sell and whatever it is that, you know, that you might need to do. Okay? But the point is, you're looking for God's will first. Verse number 16. But now, instead of seeking God's will, it says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You know, people that are boasting of having gone, started a business, made a profit, such city, if it was contrary to God's will, all right, they're boasting of themselves and such rejoicing is evil. Because they're seeking their own selfish will rather than God's will first. And then we get verse number 17. Therefore, You know, sometimes people take verse number 17 and apply it just like an individual verse. No. Therefore, in light of what we just read, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, if you don't put God's will first and you put your will first, okay, it is sin. Right? What is good? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. To do good is to seek God's will. Say, Lord, is this your will in my life? Then I'll do it, Lord, if I find it's your will. Lord, if it's compatible with your word, if I'm not sinning against you, Lord, if it's pure, yes, Lord, I'm going to take that path because I'm seeking your will first in my life. I wanted to explain James chapter 4 because some people just have this misunderstanding. It's like, if the Lord wills, read it. You don't have to guess. If the Lord wills, look, just read it. And if it's fine with the Bible, if it's fine with God's word, if it's first pure, then go ahead and do it. Go ahead and have that fun. If it's pure and it's God's will for you, go ahead and do it. Okay? But point number 7, brethren, I had 7 points, is set God's will first. I mean, Jesus Christ was that perfect example for us, wasn't he? When he laid down his life. He said, not my will, but the Father's will be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father. Even though Christ had his own will, it was not a contrary will. He made sure his will lined up with the Father's will. But we have to do the same. And again, God's not asking us. Yes, Christ was our sacrifice. And yes, we read that we're to give our bodies a sacrifice. But God is not asking us to literally die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. I mean, if you had to die for your own sins, you'd be burning in hell for all eternity. You could not do such a thing anyway. Okay? God just says, look, you know what is reasonable? Put me first. That's reasonable. What is reasonable? Seek that which is pure. What is reasonable? Put my will first in your life. We have the opportunity. All right? You said, I messed up yesterday. All right, you messed up in 2022. Don't mess up in 2023. Put God's will first. This is your chance. Can you put today, make today, God, you already have. You've made it to God's house. Well done. Okay, well done. You started well. Can you keep it going? And look, there are going to be times that you fail. But then you don't quit. You go, well, wait for 2024. No. You just pick yourself back up again and continue where you left off. Okay, don't wait for 2024 to get things right again. Okay, but you have an opportunity now, this first day of the year, to get things right with the Lord. All right, one more passage. I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 24, 27. This is the conclusion. Proverbs 24, 27. It says, prepare thy work without, to make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now, this is obvious, all right? Before you go and build a house, a structure, you know, make it fit for yourself first. Make sure you got the plans, you know what you want to build, all right? But before you do that, prepare thy work without. Prepare, before you start building, prepare first. Okay, make sure you got the finances to build a house. Make sure you got the builders. Make sure you got the plans. Make sure you got the vision all laid out. Okay, then you go and do the work. Of course, we're taking the principle out of this, brethren. Because the Bible also says that this is the house of the Lord. You know, if we want 2023 to be a house that God comes first, then we need to make sure we prepare ourselves. Before you come into God's house in the morning, prepare your hearts. Say, Lord, I want to bring my heart with you this morning. What else is a house in the Bible? Your family, right? Your family is your house. You've got to do some preparation. You know, you've got to put God first. Say, Lord, please utilize me to serve my family the way you want me to serve my family. Prepare yourself. You don't read the Bible cover to cover? Prepare yourself, right? Get home this afternoon. Download some Bible, easy, ask me if you need one. A Bible reading plan that can get you for the year. Prepare yourself, right? Prepare yourself. Get yourself ready. Open God's word. Know what he wants from you. And say, yes, Lord, I want to build my house. Lord, I want to put you first. I want to make this change in my life. I want 2023 to be a year where I put you first because I've been too selfish in 2022. But you need to prepare yourself. It's not just going to happen, is what I'm trying to say. That's why people do New Year's resolutions. You still have an opportunity. New Year's resolutions, good, all right. All right, let's say I didn't do one, Pastor. All right, do one today then. Do one tomorrow. Just get it right. No, don't do it tomorrow. Don't put it off, actually. That's what I've been saying, right? Don't put it off. Say, Lord, I'm going to put you first in my life. Please make it happen. Please change my mind. Please clean my mind. Please clean my heart. I need to love you first and foremost. To love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength, and with all my soul. Can you please help me do that, Lord? All right, brethren. Requires preparation. Give God your first. It's not easy. It's not an easy sermon this morning. It's an expected sermon for the first sermon of the year, but it's not an easy one. I can show you that because it's something that's going to affect you for every day of your life. But don't forget, you know, that God, you know, offered his son. He's given you everlasting life. Christ was truly that sacrifice. You know, Christ put the work of redemption first and foremost in his life. You know, to save a sinner like you, to give you everlasting life. How about you do what is reasonable to the Lord? Put him first in all areas of your life. Okay, let's pray.